Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books.
It doesn't always happen on Tuesday, but usually it starts on Tuesday, where you really do want a hippity-hoppity off to a different land.
Yes.
So we give you that opportunity each and every week when we go to an independent bookseller in our region to find out great books that they have in their stores that are available out there in the world, and they spend countless hours studying up and bringing the fruits of their labor to us each and every Tuesday. It's a great pleasure to welcome Connie Brooks from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, for our weekly book list, and it's always a pleasure to see you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So everything good? Everything?
Yeah, everything's good. We're coming out of the winter. It's been
excellent.
A long, cold winter, so we're looking forward to spring.
Kind of a slog.
Yeah, it really is.
All right, so that's the sun shining, and every once in a while it reminds us that the weather has it in it to be nice. So
that's right.
Where would you like to begin book-wise?
Well, let's see. I'm going to start with two novels. And the first one that I brought in is a new book called In Wilderness by Diane Thomas. And it begins in the winter of 1966 with a woman named Catherine Reed. She's just been diagnosed with a terminal illness. She abandons her successful advertising firm and seeks refuge in an isolated cabin deep in Georgia's Appalachian Mountains. There, with little more than a sleeping bag, a tin plate, and a gun, she plans to spend her time in peaceful solitude. This is her refuge as she deals with her illness. But one day, Catherine realizes the woods are not empty, and she's definitely not alone. Someone is near and observing her. 20-year-old Vietnam veteran Danny had been squatting in the previously abandoned cabin, haunted by war and living an isolated existence. He becomes fixated on Catherine. What starts as cautious observation grows to obsession. And when these two collide, the passion that ignites between them is all-consuming and increasingly dangerous. And it really gives you the chills, this book.
It is In Wilderness by Diane Thomas, and it does sound chill-inducing.
Mm-hmm.
What is next?
The next one is The Cavendon Women, and this is by Barbara Taylor Bradford. This is absolutely for the Downton Abbey fans out there. The Cavendon Women is the newest novel from Bradford, and it's the sequel to her Cavendon Hall, which introduced us to two families, the aristocratic Inghams and the Swans who serve them. Charles Ingham, the 6th Earl of Mowbray, lives in the hall with his wife Felicity and their 6 children. Walter Swan, the patriarch of the Swan family, is valet to the Earl, and his wife Alice is seamstress to the family. The story in the new book begins on a summer weekend in July of 1926, when for the first time in years, the Earl has planned a family weekend. As the weekend unfurls, secrets are spilled with all their attendant sorrows. As old enemies come out of the shadows and the Swans' loyalty to the Inghams are tested in many ways that none of them could have predicted, it's up to the Cavendon women to band together and bring their family into a new decade.
It is Barbara Taylor Bradford. She's been around a long time.
Yes, she has.
Yes, and it's the Cavendon women is the name of the new book.
Now on to, this is a, I guess you'd say kind of a contemporary nonfiction piece, and it's probably going to spark debate, and I would say probably some controversy. And this is a book called A Death on Diamond Mountain, The True Story of Obsession, Madness, and the Path to Enlightenment by Scott Carney. So the story is, we begin with 38-year-old Ian Thorson. He died from dehydration and dysentery on a remote Arizona mountaintop in 2012. And when this happened, the New York Times reported the story under the headline, Mysterious Buddhist Retreat in the Desert Ends in a Grisly Death. Journalist Carney was struck by how Thorson's death echoed other incidents that reflected the little-talked-about connection between intensive meditation and mental instability. Using these tragedies as a springboard, Carney explores how those who go to extremes to achieve divine revelations can tangle with madness. He also delves into the unorthodox interpretation of Tibetan Buddhism that attracted Thorson and the bizarre teachings of its chief evangelists, including Thorson's wife and her previous husband.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Death on Diamond Mountain, A True Story of Obsession, Madness and the Path to Enlightenment. Scott Carney is the author. And next?
Next is a memoir, a little bit of a different memoir. It's called Hammerhead, The Making of a Carpenter by Nina McLaughlin. McLaughlin spent her 20s working at a Boston newspaper, sitting behind a desk and staring at a computer screen. Yearning for more tangible work, she applies for a job that she sees on Craigslist. Carpenter's assistant, women encouraged to apply. Despite being a classics major who can't tell a Phillips from a flathead screwdriver, she lands the job, which I really wonder how, but okay. And in her new memoir, she tells the rich and entertaining story of how she became a carpenter. We meet her unflappable mentor, Mary, as well as foul-mouthed plumbers, grizzled hardware store clerks, and the colorful clients in whose homes she and Mary work. All while McLaughlin describes the joys and frustrations of making things by hand and the challenges of working as a woman in a field dominated by men. 99% of carpenters are men.
Oh, wow.
It's a really interesting number. Yeah.
Hammerhead, The Making of a Carpenter by Nina McLaughlin.
Now, a couple of quick mentions. And the first is a cookbook, and it's on the top of the pile of cookbooks in my kitchen right now. And this is the Cabot Creamery Cookbook, Simple Wholesome Dishes from America's Best Dairy Farms. And this is a gem that features 150 recipes sourced from the farm families that make up the Cabot Creamery Cooperative. The photos are beautiful, and several farms from around the region are featured. It's a great cookbook for yourself, and it also makes a wonderful gift. I often have people who come into the store and they want a gift from here, from the region, mm-hmm. and this is a nice one that does that.
In our region, in Washington County and other counties as well, but certainly in Washington County, as you drive around, it's farm country, and mm-hmm. Every great dairy farm you go to, you see the signs for Cabot Creamery.
Cabot.
That is where the milk for their cheese comes from.
Right,
so
right.
It's very nice, good stuff, and we love them very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else?
This is a travel book, National Geographic's Abroad at Home, The 600 Best International Travel Experiences in North America. Now, everybody knows that, you know, airfare costs a lot. You might have guilt over your carbon footprint if you fly, so it's a good time to take a vacation close to home. But if you still yearn for a foreign experience, this book gives you options for a wide variety of cultural activities that you can find right here in the United States and Canada. It's a fun book, and it offers a plethora of little-known delights. Learn where you can discover Basque culture in Idaho, where you can enjoy an Icelandic feast in Utah, as well as the best international art galleries and foreign cooking classes.
It is National Geographic's Abroad at Home, The 600 Best International Travel Experiences in North America.
Right. If that makes sense. I struggled with that one.
Well, yeah.
I'm like, is this going to work over the radio?
But it's Abroad at Home. Yeah.
Abroad at
All right.
Home.
Okay. Yeah.
If you have questions, call me at the bookstore.
That's
later.
Right. We'll explain it to you. Excellent. And then we have spring books.
A couple of kids' books. So the first one is The Penderwicks in Spring by Jean Birdsall. This is the newest book in a series of modern classics about the charming Penderwick family. This is the fourth book in the series, and if you're new to the Penderwicks, or your children are, you'll want to start with the first one, which is a summer tale of four sisters, two rabbits, and a very interesting boy. In the newest book, springtime is finally arriving on Gardam Street, and there are surprises in store for each member of the family. Some surprises are just wonderful, like neighbor Nick coming home from war. And some are ridiculous, like Batty's new dog walking business. Batty is saving up her dog walking money for an extra special surprise for her family, which she plans to present on her upcoming birthday. But when some unwelcome surprises make themselves known, the best laid plans fall apart. The Penderwicks in Spring is about fun, family, friends, and dogs, and what happens when you bring what's hidden into the bright light of the spring sun.
And they're beautiful looking books.
They are.
As well.
They're
really
just charming.
Well done. The Penderwicks in Spring. Jean Birdsall is the author, and again, gets you in that spring mood, as will the next
book. As will the next one. There's a theme here. If You Plant a Seed by Kadir Nelson. It's written and illustrated by Nelson. It's a beautiful picture book that begins with a simple enough premise that you reap what you sow. So if you plant a carrot seed, a carrot will grow. But what happens if you plant a seed of kindness, or conversely a seed of jealousy or selfishness? Gently told, this is a story that conveys that even small acts of compassion and generosity can have a big impact in the world. And it's just beautiful.
The name of the book is If You Plant a Seed by Kadir Nelson, and a beautiful picture book, and just one of the two children's books that you mentioned.
Right.
What else is going on that we need to be aware of?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we had received a grant from James Patterson a couple months back, so we are madly working on our new space. So that's taking up most of our extra time, and we're going to expand our children's section into that space.
Yep.
So on the weekend, you might hear us over there hammering and removing walls and things like that. So
Always fun.
We're busy doing things like that. I've got a stack of books on my nightstand that I'm reading the new Ann Tyler, A Spool of Blue Thread.
Which is great.
Which is wonderful. And
Ann
Tyler is so, I start to read her again after years and I think, oh, this is like a comfortable old blanket. And then it's not, because she upsets that. It's a family that has some dysfunction and problems. So it's not quite as comfortable as at first you think, which is a good thing, you know?
All good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Well, for more information on Battenkill Books in Cambridge, you can go to their website. It's battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com. And, oh, for goodness sakes, go visit them. They're right on Main Street.
Yes, we are. 15 East Main Street.
15 East Main Street, and in Cambridge, New York. And if you're coming off Route 22, you just take a left at the light.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've gone over the railroad tracks, well, you've gone too far.
Just too far.
Yes, and just go right before the diner, and you're right there.
Right.
It's Battenkill Books, battenkillbooks.com. Bookseller extraordinaire Connie Brooks, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks very nice always for having me.
Have you here. And again, you can check out the list, the full list, at battenkillbooks.com. We also put it on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. And if you're the type of person that says, oh, wow, I remember a book you talked about a couple of weeks ago. Well, we do store them on there, and you can go there as well and go to wamc.org/roundtable and check out book picks. And you can see not only Connie's list, but book pick lists from the last couple of weeks. And you can even listen to the segments again. And while we're talking about segments, you can really listen to all of the segments again at wamc.org/roundtable.